PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
It's a Chris Crespo radio show.
Yes!
Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You still don't understand what you're dealing with, do you? Perfect organism. Its structural perfection is matched only by its hostility.
You admire it.
I admire its purity.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
How's it going?
Let's try that again.
I was like, where's the excitement? And I forgot the applause button. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, June in the Crespediso studio, doing my best Dana Carvey doing a Paul McCartney impression. Whoop-de-doo-doo. And I now go to Winter Park and hang out around Rollins College, because that's where my kid goes, to school.
The school.
Here's your threat update. Current threat level is khaki. Current threat level is khaki. A tone for your questions. It hasn't updated yet. That was 5 hours ago. This will update during the show.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's Drewster Cogburn.
That it is.
Drewster Cogburn.
Big ups. At Drewster Cogburn on Twitter. Whoever the hell is running that Twitter feed, the official, unofficial parody account of me. It's pretty fucking fantastic.
It's a
lot of fun. It's infinitely better than my actual Twitter ever was.
They're better at Twitter than you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Definitely.
How's that working? I don't know how that works. That's how it
works. I don't know, but I like it. I like it a lot. So big ups to whoever the fuck that is. You're doing fantastic work.
And then I tweeted today, podcasting with @Drewster Cogburn, and then they replied with the middle finger emoji. So they get it.
They do. They get it. That's great.
Although in the bio they put you're in unknown waters.
Mm-hmm.
Since the waters are unknown, they're international.
Mm-hmm.
It's where
different
rules.
We
can get away with so many things.
All sorts of shit.
Get away with so many things.
Like donkey punches.
Like donkey punches.
You ever seen a donkey punch?
Donkey punch. Why?
Do you remember that?
Why is it English accent when we go to see the movie Donkey Punch?
Do you remember that crazy ass movie, Chris?
It's a movie called Donkey Punch. Oh, yeah, Donkey Punch.
Do you remember that crazy ass movie?
Yeah, it was a stupid movie. We don't recommend it. Don't make it part of your hundo. Don't do it. Would you recommend it?
Definitely.
Yeah, recommend
that. That is definitely one of those movies
it's so dumb.
It's so dumb and so weird. It goes from
white privilege in the movie.
It goes from, it really is. It goes from weird, like, it basically goes, I mean, the name of the movie comes from a crude sex act. From there, it just goes downhill. Like, I mean,
so crude.
But at the end of the movie, at the
violent.
Only one person survives the whole event, I think.
Not the donkey punched.
No.
Or the donkey punchy. The punchy or the puncher.
Oh, yeah, both way dead.
Everyone involved in the punching of the donkey.
The donkey dies, yeah, definitely, 100%. It's a weird movie.
Moral of the story. Don't punch a donkey.
It's worth watching once.
Says it's true.
I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's just Drewster Cogburn and myself. We're hanging out in the studio doing our thing. This episode brought to you by Arby's. Arby's fueling Drewster Cogburn. Drew got that country. What was it, country brisket? What was it called? What was that?
It was the short rib sandwich.
Drew got the delicious short rib sandwich from
and
Arby's.
And classic beef and cheddar.
And of course, a classic beef and cheddar. But we're here. Arby's has hired us to promote the short rib.
For anything.
They hired us.
It's not good.
They hired us to do the short rib. And Drew, give them your honest review of the short rib sandwich. Here we go.
It is not good.
Oh, Drew. They gave us all these sandwiches.
Yeah. And they're not good at all.
It was
only slightly warm.
I woke up this morning to
well,
that's because they dropped them off this morning.
It was kind of fatty. It was not very moist. It was dry. I mean, it's fast food short rib.
It was fatty but dry.
Yes, fatty but dry. So, you know, dry and chewy all at the same time.
Dry and chewy. I haven't seen anything this dry and chewy since that time. Han Solo went to the hair salon and got a perm.
Boom.
And he sat under this.
You went for it, Chris.
Really
props for going for it. you failed, though, miserably. Hard fail. Hard fail, bud.
If I can just have a couple minutes to step out of the room, and this one out, and then we'll re-edit this one, and we'll make it work, and then I'll just throw them. And then here's the edit. Here's our edit. There. I'm so good at this.
You're not good at all. Anything.
So this episode
Second Life
is brought to you by Arby's.
Kill yourself.
Short rib sandwiches. Kill yourself with Arby's. That's their new slogan, really? I mean, you have that copy in front of you. That's really weird.
It
so
is.
If you want to advertise with us, cinemacrispiso@gmail.com, those are the kind of ads you could expect. That's what we can do for you. That's what we can do for you and your brand. Speaking of branding, I am double fisting here, drinking the traditional official, unofficial, sometimes official, sometimes unofficial, beer of Cinema Crespiso.
OVP?
Mm.
Big ups.
Big ups. That's not really the big ups button.
No.
And, but that's because that's actually, I'm chasing. This is.
Why don't you have a big ups button?
Here's my big ups button.
I want to say big ups.
Oh, actually, someone said big ups. Yeah, no, I gotta get that. I am drinking my own concoction, straight up. Like, squeezed out lime juice, the whole lime. You know how much lime juice I got out of a single lime?
A lot. Well, approximately 1 ounce.
1.5 ounces. Almost two. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a pretty big lime. Juicy.
And on average, it's about 1 ounce per lemon or lime.
Or lime. Well, I got a little over. And then I match it pretty much with the vodka, put in the shook it up over ice. Just a little bit of water to just get it to reach the top of the glass. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's pretty good. It's hearty. Because I had no sugars.
No.
That's what the beer is for.
No. I was going to say, I mean, you could add, you could make a simple syrup.
I could make a simple syrup, but easily.
And then just dump it in there with the shaker as well, just like a teaspoon or a tablespoon. Yeah,
but I'm trying to cut out the sugars, and that's why. But, you know, it's a fun, I'm just thinking, I had extra limes. And so I'm trying to use the shaker thing. I got the shaker thing, got shocked. I got all these things, Drew. I have a whole array of glasses. Last night I used a glass I haven't ever used. It's been in the cabin for like 2 months.
I have
finally found a way to use it.
I have 12 glasses I've never used.
Well, because like, the whole glass set, like you're going to have a dinner party.
No, not like I'm going to have a dinner party, just because they were cheap and they came in a 12-pack.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like you have a whole set of them, yeah. Like for a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm not going to use
them. But it's just you, though.
The glass.
I mean, you could like use one and then put it in the sink and then get a clean one.
I could.
And then eventually go through them.
But in all reality, I have like 3 plastic cups that I use.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a true Floridian, just using those old plastic cups.
Yeah.
Gross.
One of them is a Tervis tumbler that's pretty sure as old as I am.
Oh, the old Tervis tumblers. Yeah. That's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's Florida. True Florida legacy.
The factory's
shit.
In Sarasota.
The factory's in Sarasota. That's
5 minutes from my house. I could bring you there if I wanted to.
Let's go. Road trip.
I know where it is.
Cinema Crespiso goes to the Tervis Tumblr factory.
It's on Tamiami Trail.
We just need to reach out to them and get an episode sponsored by
them. In Osprey, Florida.
In Osprey. That's not Sarasota. That's Osprey.
Suburb of.
Oh, snap. You mean like how Sanford is the best kept secret of Orlando?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Maitland is a suburb of what? Winter Park or Orlando?
Orlando. We're 15 minutes from downtown Orlando. It's right there. Drew Chicago. If you take I-4, you're there in like 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, assuming that I-4 is not backed up.
Assuming that I-4 is not backed up. I mean, it is a crazy wild road full of happenstance and tragedy. That was your Cinema Crespiso traffic report for the summer.
I mean, pretty much for eternity.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
At least for the Ultimate and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, your thread update is...
That was khaki.
Still khaki. it updates every 5 hours, and since 5 hours old. I guess I'll check in 15 minutes. We have no guest, in case you haven't noticed. Did I say that already?
Yes, we're sans guest.
We're guestless, which is fine. Maybe, Drew, we should go back to no guest. We have all these guests. I've been busting my hump.
You have.
To have guests in here practically every week. This is only the second time this year we haven't had a guest.
I know. It's fucking September.
And and that first time was like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Both people canceling within 24 hours of our schedule. You know, and they have reasons. The emergencies happen. Understand the whys.
Mm-hmm. You get it.
Let's be in the ass. Oh my God. So many guests. I got one, two. Right, this one. This one now goes here. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. With a couple emails with people trying to get themselves booked on.
I'm about to say, I mean, dude, it's... Right now we're booked through the middle of October.
Mm-hmm, That's correct.
So, I mean, then there's only 2 months after that and then the year's over.
Closer to the end of October. And closer to that, the year's over. So, I don't know. I don't know about all these guests. I don't know, man. Do people really like the guests? Do they actually like them?
I don't know. Do we have, have you seen any significant spikes from certain or uncertain guests?
A handful of guests get us an extra maybe 10 to 15% extra downloads.
Okay.
Which isn't much. Isn't much. And then, like, the next week, it'll just go back to normal. So it's not like we're getting people that are then sticking around.
Yeah.
But that's more on us for making a subpar product.
Mm.
And being bad at what we do.
Mm.
Well, yeah.
We have no oversight, Chris. That's the problem. We have no oversight. There's nobody being like, hey, you guys suck. Get better. Except for us.
That's for us. We're our own barometers of suckitude.
And I think our barometers might be off.
Our barometers?
Like I said.
Yeah. Our barometers are way off. Our barometers are broken. Broken. The broken barometers of Drew Sikogren.
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. I'm writing that down.
The broken barometers of Drew Sikogren.
The broken. How do you write the bow?
I don't know what barometer. I don't even know how to spell barometers.
Barometers?
Oh, I don't know. However, spell it like you want. It's a made up word anyway.
We'll see if this title sticks by the end of the episode. Yeah, there's no one there. We don't have an editor. We don't. You know, that's the thing too. As like the co-head of PFT Media, I can, if people ask me to, I can provide constructive criticism. But, oh, you can do this. You can do that. Almost every show, I have ideas where they can. You know, I don't offer
different.
Them freely. Yeah, yeah, but you know, if anyone ever came to me. In another way, people have come to me now also, or not come to me, but I've come to the PFT network.
More like come on you.
They've come on me, and as they jizz on me, they're like, take that, can I be on your network? And I'm like, well, I don't know, let me see what are your numbers. And there I'll be more free. I'm like, well, let me listen to the show. If you already have a product, now listen to it. And then I'll be like, well, this, that, blah, 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 whatever. It's all a different thing. In that case, my barometers are working.
Just not for yourself. Not for self-criticism.
Just not on our own thing, because we don't have, we can't barometer our own thing.
Mm-mm. You need an outside perspective for that.
Yes.
Which I don't have.
But then the thing is, too, when then if all the people then give me their opinions,
mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit.
What the fuck does it matter?
I'm doing my thing.
Okay. Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's what's called a Joseph Keller situation.
What?
Joseph Heller? What's his name?
Excuse me?
Who's the guy who wrote Catch 22? What's that guy's name?
Anyway.
Damn it.
Chris.
11 minutes until our throat. Updates. I'm excited. I can't wait.
Play the music for this.
Oh, here we
week.
Go. Stream Picker Week. So excited. Look at Drew Sikogren producing.
Assalamu alaikum and
music.
Welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
While I figure out what it's going to be.
Streaming. That's right, the streaming pick of the week. We let you know you can watch on Hulu, Amazon, Netflix. Use the Crespediso randomizer 9000.1. Drew Sikogren, use the randomizer. Here we go. Reach inside. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Chris,
so people can hear it.
Chris is empty.
Shake it up. Reach inside. There's something in there. Double check. It generates. It auto generates. Broke it. Drew, you're not supposed to put your hand through it. But now you're wearing like a predator gauntlet. That's not good. Drew, you broke the 9000.1.
I put my hand through it. Through the entire thing. I got angry.
We sent it out.
I punched through it.
It was broken last week. We sent it for repairs and I came back and it's still broken.
Punched through.
Alright, you know what? Send it back one more time with a note. Give him one more chance to fix that damn thing. We pay too much in monthly fees for this kind of shenaniganry. Alright, well, I guess we're just going to do a... What you watching? Drew...
Chris.
What you watching, dude?
I'm watching Shadow the Tomb Raider right now.
That's a thing. That's not a video game.
It is, but I'm watching it and I'm playing it at the same time.
It's called Shadow of the
Shadow
Tomb Raider?
Of the Tomb Raider.
It's not called Tomb Raider : Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
No, it's just Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
What are you playing that on PS4?
Playing that on Xbox. Yes. It's just like the other ones. Hardcore, gritty. It's actually more this video game is more of a predator. It's more Predator than the last Predator movie that came out.
Interesting.
Like, they've added some more sneaky mechanics where, like, you can hide in stuff and, like, become one with, like, wall, with, like let's say there's a bunch of vines on the wall. Right. You can, like, hide in the vines, and then when people come by, you can, like, you know, jab your giant knife into their throat and fucking leave them for dead. Whoa. Because they are. Whoa. Because you jabbed your giant knife into their throat.
And it's, like, so for violent... PG-13 game? If it was going to be a movie.
Ooh, rated R.
It's a rated R.
Rated R for violent. Dude, I mean...
It's a game for adults.
Yeah, you are... There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, I read an article about the new Spider-Man game that I talked about last week.
Yeah.
So, as you play the game, like, you come across these construction sites where you fight the bad guys, and you're basically kicking bad guys off of, like, 40-story buildings. Like, off of the construction site. And... I mean, in my head, these people are probably dead.
They better be dead.
But here's the thing. That's Spider-Man. Spider-Man doesn't kill. Spider-Man's like Batman. He doesn't kill.
But in the mechanics of the game, you're kicking guys off of buildings. Uh-huh. So theoretically, they're splat-landed.
So people are wondering if Spider-Man's killing people in these games. And, you know, video game company had to come out and fucking say all this bullshit, basically, that they didn't never thought about, you know, trying to save their asses, saying that Spider-Man isn't killing people.
That's crazy.
No.
It's really funny.
As opposed to in this game, where you are totally murdering the fuck out of people.
It's like, here is a, if you hit these buttons in combination, it goes to a cutscene of you slow motion, slitting someone's throat, and there's blood spurting everywhere. It's like Mortal Kombat, right? Does she ever rip anyone's head off of their...
No, although they're...
With a spine still attached?
I've only been playing for a little while. And there is already allusions to human sacrifice and people's hearts being taken out.
Ooh.
So I'm kind of hoping for some cool stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, this is just like the last Tomb Raider games where it's, you know, it's a mixture of action and survival. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, you know, in order to upgrade your weapons and your outfits and things of that nature, you need to, like, hunt animals and kill them and use their fucking bones and their hides to make stuff and this, that, the other. You know, there are higher difficulties where, you know, you have to start campfires with things that you found as opposed... Because the save points are...
Yeah, sort of campfire.
Base camps. Yeah, because your save points are base camps. They're basically this giant sand... It's basically like mini GTA
where you've got
these sandboxes. Exactly. You have this big map. Well, it's a bunch of small maps.
Sure.
Where, you know, each from different locations that correspond with the story because there are tombs involved. Tomb Raider.
Right.
You know,
right.
So there are all these maps, but depending on where you go on the map depends on if there's a tomb over here or there are bad guys or whatever. And while you're in it, you also have the time and the option to, like I said, hunt animals and find collectibles and stuff like that.
Like Red Dead Redemption style.
Kinda, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but it's definitely for adults. Like I said, there's murder, death, kill everywhere.
Nice.
You're slaughtering the fuck out of both man and beast.
So you're thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah.
Did you rent it, buy it?
Bought it. It's just like the last ones. You know, the...
You've been playing them since the 90s, right?
I only got into Tomb Raider when they revamped them for the new systems. So this is the third Tomb Raider I've played.
Oh, okay, the most recent one.
Yeah, only the most recent one. Because I never really got... I mean, I had played them before, but I never got into them. Like, it never interested me. You're just running around with two pistols and boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. When that style game was very popular.
Exactly.
Max Payne's and whatnot.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And I thought Max Payne was a much better version of Tomb Raider. So
Max Payne was such a fun game.
I don't know.
Super fun game. Funny how Max
Rockstar
is funny because of the timing of it. They were able to incorporate bullet time gameplay because it just got popular with The Matrix.
Exactly.
So that when The Matrix came out on Xbox. It was already not the first game to have any sort of bullet time. And actually, I remember playing it like, it's fine, but it's not as good as Max Payne.
No, the Max Payne bullet time was awesome.
Like, they nailed it on the first try.
Oh, dude, yeah, because every time you dodged, all of a sudden, boom, immediately, you could just like, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and you're all dead.
And then they did one of the sequel games I got really into. There's one of the Max Payne games I really got into and played a lot. And it was the one where they incorporate the feature in which the bodies have, like, especially for certain scenes, they have, like, the physics of the bodies depends on however you shoot them, they will fall in a certain way. So if you shoot them in the head, they'll fall a certain way. If you shoot them in their arm, they'll spin around.
Yeah.
If you shoot them in the leg, it'll set them. Yeah. So, and then even when it ties into a cutscene. If you shoot a guy differently leading into the cutscene, then the cutscene will
play different.
Yeah, the physicality of the player falling or the person falling will still be the same. It's pretty cool. I just remember that. And then they made the movie.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And he was like,
awful.
Him and Mila Kunis were like, have you guys heard about these honeybees?
Actually, they were like, hey guys, have you heard about these psychedelic demons? It was all about seeing demons and doing drugs.
I don't remember. I remember that. I saw the movie too.
I mean, that was the whole that was the whole plot of the first game too.
I just remember you was just on
everyone was hooked on Valkyrie
on drugs.
Yeah. Hardcore drugs that made you see demons.
Oh, that's fun. That's good times. Fun and a good time. So, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is what you're watching.
Yes. Well, and playing.
And playing.
Yeah, I'm not really. Yeah, it's pretty much getting all my screen time right now.
True.
How about you, Chris? What you watching?
I watched, I already talked about this last week. I watched the first episode of season 2 of The Expanse.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it up with that show. You know, I'm sorry, starting off pretty solid. All right, so looking forward to seeing where season 2 goes. But I only watched one episode, so not much to talk about there. I'm reading Tom Wolfe's The Right Stuff.
Oh, very nice.
I've seen the movie a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And then with First Man coming out,
no.
I wanted to, ties into the whole, it's the birth of the space agency, mm-hmm. is essentially the space race and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm like 5-6 chapters in, and man, like no wonder it's like a classic, book, and they wanted to make a movie out of it, all this stuff. Tom Wolfe's a great writer, and it's like super compelling. There's a great part in the beginning. One chapter is all about how the beginning just sets up how these dudes are test pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Way before space even comes into it. They're just test pilots.
There's a bunch of crazy assholes flying crazy planes that may or may not explode in midair.
They may explode, may crash, may do so many things. And they're trying to fly them as fast as possible. They're the first jet planes. And the whole chapter about the right stuff and how you have the right stuff. And the way he describes the ziggurat, the climbing of the pyramid, and how people get left off at certain levels. And it takes the right stuff to get to the very top. And the people who are at the top. This whole great chapter about that starts out talking about when you get on a commercial airline. This book was written, 80s, 70s? The commercial airline. The airline pilot's like, hey, this is your pilot speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine up here. You know, that very stereotypical. According to this book, that started with one guy named Chuck Yeager. Chuck Yeager had just a very calm demeanor about him. And he was one of the best test pilots. And he'd be up there pitching and rolling and doing all this
and
shit.
And just talking like this. Like nothing else is going on.
It's like, guys, we got a bit of a situation up here. You know, so I'm just going to try to do this and that. And he was just so cool and calm and collected that he was legendary amongst the pilots. To the point where then all the other pilots, his contemporaries, all started talking just like him. All were up on that. No matter who they were, no matter where they were from.
They're doing a Chuck Yeager impression.
They were all just doing Chuck Yeager up there because that was who they wanted to be. And that manifests itself throughout all pilots, like to this day. So when you hear that voice, like the descriptions of how so many people in this one group 20, it starts out talking about the wives. The movie, The Right Stuff, is a great, great movie. They could turn this into an HBO series or something and just go much hue closer to the book.
Mm-hmm.
And an entire episode would just be about the wives and how they had to go through this ritual of if they heard like a siren or they know something's wrong, like something definitely crashed out there, then they all have to wait and like the wives are calling each other, let them know whether or not they heard from their husband. So it's just whose husband is it? And then the whole ritual of the walking up to the door with the message and everything and just how that happens over and over and over. And one guy, how he goes out there on a rescue to find a downed plane. And they're looking at a tree, and they're like, this tree looks diseased, and it's like it's got all this bulbous stuff on it, and it's got like this crazy sack grown out of it, and it's dripping. It looks gross. This tree is infected. And then they realize, oh, the tree is infected. The bulbous sack is the is a helmet with brains bladder everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what had happened was the dude's plane, the branch had just went right through the cockpit and smashed his head like a melon, and his brains were just everywhere. And they were just looking at the remains
of
their contemporary. And then they had to then fix everything and then go back to the base and go to the bar and drink. And
mm-hmm.
It was great. Man, that's a really well-written book. Great stuff about how the pilots get together and that shit will happen. And then they sit down and they'll talk about all these things. And they'll just say how they'll have euphemisms. They won't say what exactly happened, but they have ways of talking around all this stuff. And there's certain things they will never say. And then when any pilot ever does something notable, like the first one to break the sound barrier and all this shit, and then they get in front of reporters, and then the reporters who aren't in the club, they then start asking questions very directly. What, like, they're vocalizing the things that the pilots go out of their way to never ever say. Mm-hmm. So that then creates an adversarial relationship between the pilots and the media and the press. But then the media then usually venerates them. So of course, who doesn't like being written about as some sort of American god in the headlines? You know what I mean? Especially when the space agency, the whole space race is announced, and like, here are your seven astronauts, your first seven astronauts, and then they're being written about as heroes already. All they did was have a press conference. Literally, the first thing and the only thing they did was have a press conference. Immediately, American heroes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right. Gotta fight those commies, bro.
That's right. Dude, yes. They're already sending them up there. They're sending up Sputniks and monkeys. And I don't think at this point in the book, what's his name? Yorgos or Chekhov or whatever that guy's name is. The first dude.
Chekhov.
I don't know.
Yeah, immediately don't know. Go to Star Trek.
I don't know. Whatever that guy's name is. But they sent him up there first. They did that first. Those damn Ruskies. But a spoiler alert.
60-70-year-old spoiler alert. Isn't that...
Man, when first man in the trailer, they show him, like, landing on the moon and getting out of the aircraft. I'm like, come on, guys.
Like, we know.
You're showing the entire movie. The whole movie.
But we've already seen the movie, Chris.
The only thing they're not showing is, like, his foot hitting the ground. And apparently, them putting the flag in the ground, as if that matters so much, you goddamn hicks. Stupid hillbillies, some of them are listening to this show. So, the right stuff. Tom Wolfe.
Cool.
That's what I'm watching.
Well, reading. You're watching reading. Words with your eyes.
I'm watching words with my eyes.
And comprehending them with your brain.
Turning them into brain pictures. Yeah. With my imagination TV.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and The Expanse. So I'm gonna watch more of The Expanse. And I feel like I'm watching something else, but nothing wrong. Oh, you know what I did watch something. You know what I watched? It's on Amazon Prime. I rewatched Miami Vice, the movie, for the first time since it was in theaters. Mm-hmm. And I liked it way more this time than I remember liking it the first time around.
Well, there you go.
Like, first time I saw it, I was like, yeah, it's whatever. But this time watching, I was like, I thought the opening was really compelling, sucked me in. It does meander a bit in the middle when Crockett is like falling in love with the Chinese Cuban lady and all that. So it kind of loses its way. But then it kind of gets focused back together. It has a really intense ending. There's white supremacists involved and shit. And Naomi Harris pops up for like three scenes. Justin Thoreau pops up for two. They're obviously like cut out of much of the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, it was fine. It's a good movie. It's intense. There's parts where, like in the beginning, a buy goes bad. A Russian dude gets sussed out as working for the feds. And these guys using high-powered sniper rifles, they shoot up these two dudes in this car. And the shot is from inside the car in the back seat. And you get, like, slow-motion shots. And the driver gets shot a couple times. He gets shot in the arm. And then his arm above the elbow goes flying off of his body in slow motion, flipping through the air. Like, it gets severed off crazy from these... It's like the future bullets. It was just Miami Vice.
Mm-hmm. They got future bullets.
It's good. Ciarán Hinds is in it as like the head of the was it CIA? Whatever thing goes wrong at the beginning of the movie, he's the head of it. So he has some great scenes. And there's also, if people want to watch this, pay attention to this. This is my favorite part of it. Again, Drew, I like when movies feel like... When they feel visceral and real and gritty, like we were talking about this with Predator 2
mm-hmm.
on the Predator episode, the spoiler episode. Beginning of Miami Vice, they obviously shot it like this time of year.
Yeah.
Right? Balmy.
Hot, sweaty, hot. Gross.
So they're on a Crockett and Tubbs or on a rooftop meeting with like their captain mm-hmm. and then Ciarán Hinds' character. And it's a clandestine meeting, top of a roof, nighttime, a lot of... low angles facing up, so you get the big like Miami skyline, so you get a few like really nice there's a heat storm going on, a lightning mm-hmm. storm, so some really nice background lightning, and then everyone's glistening with sweat, like you can feel,
because it's 86 degrees at 9 o'clock at night,
yes, and like 80% humidity, you can feel the wetness in the air as they're speaking. And I don't know, I just like really appreciate the they're not getting any worse at all. I rewatched that, and actually, that was pretty good. I enjoyed it much more second time.
Good job.
Also fun to watch it, knowing the whole time that Colin Farrell is at one of his lowest points in terms of alcoholism and cocaine use.
Mm-hmm. And he looks like it.
He looks like it. Does not look good in the movie. He looks puffy. Looks tired. It's not just character work.
Nope.
He's having hard nights in Miami. And Jamie Foxx is like, oh, this guy, God, this just, God,
fucking guy.
I'm just trying to work. And he cleaned up shortly after that. So.
Good for him.
It's the last of the good fucked up Farrell performances.
Mm.
All right, so there you go. That's what we're watching. Box office recapture.
Chris.
We talking top...
Number five this week. Crazy Rich Asians made $8.7 million. Total of $149 domestic on a budget of $30.
My mouth is so tardy right now. That's what the beer is for.
Number four this week.
What's the total?
$149
Man, oh man, them Crazy Rich Asians.
Getting crazier, richer.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. I just want to point out $150 million domestic. That's great. Good for you guys. I still need to see it. Go ahead.
Number four, White Boy Rick. Meat Plus. Bad boys, Sam's total. Budget of $29 million.
Wanted to see this movie.
Definitely.
Is it well reviewed? It's all reviewed. Is it okay reviewed?
It's all right.
Is it okay reviewed?
It's okay.
Want to see it.
63% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Dog sitting this weekend with the world's most anxious dog who goes through separation anxiety like a motherfucker. So.
Well, the consensus seems to be the movie's okay, but Matthew McConaughey is great.
Of course. It's McConaughey. You see that mustache?
I know.
All right, we'll get around to White Boy Rick. One day.
Eventually.
Number three.
A Simple Favor. $16.050 million.
That is a solid opening for a movie with very little marketing. A Paul Feig non-comedy. Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick, whilst known names, aren't exactly like box office draws.
No.
So, how many theaters? 2,000? 3,000?
3,000.
So, yeah, not a bad. Not a bad wide release. Is it okay reviewed?
Certified fresh.
Certified fresh.
82%.
All right, definitely. Guess.
Average rating, 7 out of 10.
Sorry, Matthew McConaughey. I want to see A Simple Favor. A Simple Favor?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see A Simple Favor ahead of White Boy Rick based on critic consensus.
Number two this week.
Number two.
The Nun. $18.2 million, total 85.
Man, 85 million? The Nun's opening weekend was the biggest opening weekend for any movie in the Conjuring universe.
Wow.
But then this second weekend, dropping down to 18 million, it's the biggest drop from first weekend to second weekend of any Conjuring movie.
Interesting.
So while the marketing was effective and got a lot of people out the first weekend, the movie is not good enough to get people to do the word of mouth thing that worked so well for
the rest of them.
Especially the Conjuring first time around. 18 million opening, so there you go. What was number one?
Number one, The Predator. Weekend gross, $24 million.
$24 million actually ties it for best opening weekend for a Predator movie that doesn't involve aliens.
Okay.
Alien vs. Predator has like a 40-something million dollar opening weekend.
Well, it's because it's got two.
Because it's got two of them. It's two franchises. Yeah. So we ain't counting them shits. Get damn shits out of here.
Fatality.
I used that button already.
Mm-hmm.
All these buttons, and I used that one already. I used the same one twice. God,
you are not good at this today.
You know what? It's been a weird weekend. Predators in 2010 opened at $24 million. Ended up making about 50-something.
Mm-hmm.
This one's opening to 24. Might have longer legs based on the time it came out. I don't know. 60, 80 million. That's possible. The initial Predator opened to like 15 million, 12 million. But that's also $1987. Ended up making almost $80 million. Huge hit for that time. So, considering the fact that Predator has a huge budget... And 4,000 screens is like
$88 million
budget, and 4,000 screens.
Yep,
this is the lowest opening weekend for a movie on 4,000 screens.
Yeah.
The previous record holder for that ignoble record would be The Mummy.
Mm.
The Mummy over 4,000 screens. That's terrible. This one, even worse.
Yep.
So the Predator, we saw it. We already did a spoiler-filled bonus episode that you can check out and listen to. But here is our spoiler-free review for anyone who wants to know what we think, but doesn't want things spoiled. It is, after all, it just came out, and at $24 million, it's not like everyone saw it.
Yeah, no.
They were honestly hoping for at least $50
million. I mean, of course they were.
An opening weekend of at least $50
million. And if they had made a better movie, they would have gotten it.
I think so. Yeah, word of mouth is not going to help.
Ooh, no, it has moments of amazing violence. It has moments of amazing comedy. It has moments of mixing of the two. But as a whole movie with, like, a coherent plot and, like, character development and, like, storytelling, like, it's just not there.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I can't figure out what's missing. I'm not going to necessarily point to character development because the first Predator movie got by great without
any
great character development. It didn't need that. Yeah. Everything else was great, though. This movie does have great violence, if you're into that.
It does.
Pretty good action. It's shot okay. It could be better, though.
Well, of course.
It could be better. I'm not a big fan of this Boyd Holbrook fellow. Holbrook. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Perhaps.
I don't like him. He's like, whatever.
He's just bland white guy.
He just reminds me of like a lot of the early days of Chris Pine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bland white guy.
Who's this white guy? Or imagine if Ryan Reynolds wasn't funny.
So bland white guy?
Mm.
Yeah, because this is what Ryan Reynolds has. Ryan Reynolds has humor.
Yes, lots of it.
Keeps him from being bland.
Mm-hmm.
He's a funny white guy.
Yes.
He's Canadian, too, so he's polite.
He is.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like him all that much. It felt like maybe they did a little too much with the plot, with the plotting, with the Tremblay character, and then Olivia Munn, she had her own thing going on that they had to then tie into everything. And then they come across the bus of loonies, like a third of the way into the movie. So it's like a lot of stuff that has to come together later.
And it barely does.
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't feel... It just doesn't feel all that great. Now, there are some good jokes.
Oh, dude. Sterling K. Brown kills it the entire movie.
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown's pretty great in this movie. I mean, I actually liked him. I liked Olivia Munn. I liked... Keegan-Michael Key was fine. Gervonta Rhodes, he was just like a cool dude. He was fine. I thought everyone was fine. All the actors were fine. So that wasn't a problem except for maybe a lack of charisma for your lead guy. Obviously, we're talking about the Predator featured goddamn Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
They put a team together full of hyper-masculine muscle heads. Bill Duke, Carl Weathers, Jesse Ventura, Sonny Landham.
And they got the biggest
And then they got the alphalist of them all to, like, unbelievably lead them. Yeah. And it was Schwarzenegger. For Predator 2, not in the same way, obviously, but Danny Glover still feels like, this guy is a leader. I can follow this dude.
Yeah. He's got the chops.
Adrian Brody felt like a step backwards. Like, he's fine, but, like, I don't know. He had to get really ripped for it and still. And then this one, it's like, is Holbrook really, like, a great leader? Do I believe him, like, leading these banditos of locos? These loco banditos locos?
Nope.
I really didn't. I didn't buy it the same way. You know, big shoes to fill with Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And, it just doesn't all come together, unfortunately. So, would you say people, don't see it in theaters, don't see it at all, don't see it, wait for it to be on TV. You're going to get a lot of the stuff edited out.
If you like The Predator, find a way to see it as unrated as possible.
As cheap as possible and as unrated as possible.
Because lots of motherfuckers, lots of fucks, lots of blood, lots of adult humor and action.
Yep.
But it's not very good.
Unfortunately, it's not very good.
I think it's because Shane Black switched Halloween for Christmas for Halloween.
Spoiler alert, that's the one thing we will spoil. This is the first Shane Black movie with no Christmas in it.
Yep, it's Halloween instead.
Halloween.
Fucked his head up.
And it's not the same.
No, it's not.
It's not the same.
He needs to go back to Christmas.
Leave Halloween to the Halloween movie. Hey, that Halloween trailer.
Ooh, that Halloween trailer was probably better than the entire Predator movie.
Yeah. Or it's just, I guess so. That's what the movie's going to be. A good type of movie. So. It's just Michael Myers walking around Halloween
walking
night
from house to house, fucking murdering
just
people,
killing people in the most like tense buildups possible.
I hope he does it very nonchalantly and off screen, like he does in the trailer.
That's what it looks
like
trailer.
Where he's just walking around the house, and oh, there's a hammer. Hey, look, there's a person.
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and then like, oh, knife.
Yeah.
and then it should be like upgrade.
Yeah.
Knife.
Exactly. So
it's a good trailer.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that movie.
Halloween's only a few weeks away. Yeah, Predator, bummer. It's a bummer when the best part of seeing the Predator is seeing the Halloween.
Chris, trailer. And everybody agrees with us. It's only 34% on the Rotten Tomatoes. Average rating 5.1 out of 10.
Damn, that sucks.
Even the audience score is only 51%.
That's the audience. That's the audience right there.
The Predator has violence and quips to spare, but its chaotically hollow action adds up to another missed opportunity for a franchise increasingly defined by disappointment.
That sucks.
Dude, it's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Things will never be the same, Chris. Mm-hmm. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well. Sorry, people. Sorry to be the bearers of bad news. Mm. Our barometer may be broken.
Barometer.
But we can tell you that this one's not very good.
No, it is not.
Speaking of movies not very good, coming out on DVD this week, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
I never saw it.
Now's your chance.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, there are like certain shots here and there, and they're obvious when they happen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like silhouettes, a lot of dinosaur silhouettes in either smoke or with light or at night or whatever.
They're pretty cool.
A lot of really cool shots in this movie, and great use of animatronics.
Mm.
It's almost better to just go online to YouTube and look for like behind the scenes footage of them making the movie to see the use of animatronics versus actually watching the movie.
Okay.
What's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, Chris. Mm. We've got The House with the Clock on Its Walls.
Yeah, yeah. Eli Roth making his family movie.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, I got friends with kids. They want to see an Eli Roth movie.
Sure they do.
Well, like book series, I'm not sure.
I mean, I like Jack Black. Cate Blanchett kills it in anything she does because she's Cate Blanchett, so.
Cate Blanchett's great. I did see the trailer in front of something and be like, you know, I mean, doesn't look terrible. I didn't think it looked terrible. I was like, could be compelling. It could be okay.
It looks a lot better than Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 11/9.
Yeah, I'm done with that idiot. I've been done with him for years.
Also looks a lot better than... No. Actually, no. This actually looks like a lot of fun, Chris. The Sisters Brothers.
I hope it actually comes out. I only saw one trailer for this.
I know. But it looks like a lot. Dude, John C. Reilly and Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, as
the Sisters Brothers.
Brothers. Their last name is Sisters.
Sisters, yeah.
So they're Sisters Brothers. Based on a book. I've read the book. It's not that long.
Yeah.
Really good little Western book. Along the way, one of them buys toothpaste and a toothbrush for the first time. And then he's like, oh, man, this is great. And his brother comes over and he's like, here, try it. He just hands him the toothbrush straight out of his mouth. And he tries to put it in his mouth. He's like, yeah, this is fantastic. We're brushing our teeth. Yeah, I hope it's good.
It also has Jake Gyllenhaal and Riz Ahmed in it. So.
Riz Ahmed's a guy who invents something that they want. I think that just leaves Jake Gyllenhaal as the bad guy who runs him down. The director, I think his name is Jacques Audiard. He's a French dude.
Yes.
Who did A Prophet. You ever see that one? About the guy who goes to jail? And it's like a 3-hour movie about a kid. He's an 18-year-old kid who goes to jail. And he's kind of like roped into it, and then he's stuck in there for a while, and he comes out a hardened as fuck criminal.
I think maybe I have seen it.
It's a crazy good movie. It's really good. It's just really long. He also did a movie with Marion Cotillard where she plays a double amputee called Rust and Bone. That's a very well liked movie. So it's interesting that he does this. I don't know. Want it to be good, but we'll see. Anything else come out?
Nope.
All right, Drister Cogburn, time for your prescription for the universe. Oof. That was high-pitched.
That really hurt my fucking ears.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. This week, Chris, I'm recommending that you pick up a copy of Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's a lot of fun. I'm a huge fan of these new reboots. If you want to play a game where it sounds like the girl is having sex every time she gets hurt, it's your type of game, because they still haven't fixed that. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's kind of unnerving.
It's like, finish him!
I have
to burn! Mr. Cogburn did it very much. Okay. Right around the 45-minute mark. Perfect. Let's take a break here. We got to take a break, Drew Cogburn, so I can hit the pause and hit the saves and make sure none of this gold is lost.
So you're going to punch a puppy?
And then I'm going to go punch a puppy.
Because you're going to hit this?
I'm going to hit the pause and punch a puppy. The puppy left. Puppy's gone. There's no more puppy. I'm now I have separation anxiety. My parents took the doggy back.
Maybe you should get your own.
No, too much work. And then I'll having to pick up that poo. I'll be honest. Walked the dog 4 times. It pooed 3 times. And I did have my poopy bags. And I did all 3 times. Reached down and I picked up that poo. But a little bit got left behind, like in the thick grass. And I wasn't about to go digging in there for outside. Each time I left a little bit of poo.
So you only picked up like 80% of the poo.
I picked up like about 80% of the poo. Yeah, that's a good estimate. Yeah.
All right.
80% is a good estimate. Yeah. Sure. So...
So Chris is a 20% poo lever.
I don't have a 20% poo lever. I don't have my poo lever is broken, so I'm a poo lever. I just don't have experience in the poo handlings. I don't have the experience.
You need to get some, Chris.
I need to get some poo handling experience. Yeah. My poo lever, yeah. Which is next to the pool lever. That's a problem. I had to fix the pool lever,
and not the poo lever.
But it left the pool lever. The poo lever is so broken. My mouth hurts after doing all that.
Sure does.
Verbal gymnastics. All right. Well,
cunning cunnilingus.
I'm a cunning linguist. You're a. You know what I'm saying. All right, so is that our last audition? Do we have anything else, sir?
Actually, sir, we have one final audition. I'm kind of doing this as a favor. I know this guy. He's a friend of my roommate. He just kind of needs the work, so I said I'd get him in, if you don't mind. And he's
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, yeah, fine. Let's get it over with. Why don't you go ahead and bring him in?
Thank you very much, sir. I'll let him in. Hi, how's it going? Welcome. Could you please state your name for the camera?
It's your babe.
All right, Bane. Should I call you Mr. Bane or?
No. All right. It's just Bane.
Thank you, sir. You'll be reading the part of Vincent today.
I thought I was prepared to read for Jules.
You'll be reading the part of Vincent.
Okay.
So
that throws me off a little, but I'll be fine.
We're just gonna start whenever you're ready. Just let me know when you've prepared yourself.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Now, tell me about the hash bars.
What do you want to know?
Well, hash is legal there, right?
Yes, it's legal, but it isn't 100% legal. I mean, you can't walk into a restaurant, roll a joint, and start puffing away. You're only supposed to smoke in your home or certain designated places.
Those are hash bars.
Yeah, it breaks down like this. It's legal to buy it, it's legal to own it, and if you're the proprietor of a hash bar, it's legal to sell it. It's legal to carry it, which doesn't really matter because... Get a load of this. If the cops stop you, it's illegal for them to search you. Searching you is a right that the cops in Amsterdam don't have.
That did it, man. I'm fucking going. That's all there is to it.
You'll dig it the most. But you know what is the funniest thing about Europe?
What?
It's the little differences. A lot of the same shit we got here, they got there, but they're just a little different.
Examples?
Well... In Amsterdam, you can buy beer in a movie theater. And I don't mean in a paper cup either. They give you a glass of beer, like in a bar. In Paris, you can buy beer at McDonald's. Also, you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
No, they got the metric system there. They wouldn't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
What did they call it?
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese? Royale with cheese. What did they call it? Big Mac.
Big Mac's a Big Mac. They just call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac? What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go into a Burger King. But you know what they put on French fries in Holland instead of ketchup?
What?
Mayonnaise!
God damn.
I seen him do it. And I don't mean a little bit on the side of the plate. They fucking drown him in it.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you, Mr. Bane, for your time.
Actually, I think... Can I get you one more? I think I can do this again.
No, no, that's all right. We're a little short on time today.
Like I said, I was prepared for Jules.
Once again, sir, thank you for your time.
Okay, well, do you have my headshots? Can I leave an extra headshot right
here? We have your headshot, sir. We don't need an extra.
Okay, so I'll call you.
No, actually, we'll call you, sir.
So my agents will call you.
No, we'll call you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Please leave.
Welcome to the Crespo Game.
Mic's on. There we go. Mic's on.
Good job, Chris.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Cinema Crespo. He's so dig it.
You do that, Chris.
Enthusiasm for sure.
You do that. You do that. You do that. You do it, Chris.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, do it. Yeah, do it, Gordon. Yeah.
Do it, Chris. Do it. Chris, do it.
The vape pen doesn't make any noise on. You can't hear vaping.
That's an awful sound, by the way.
Get it extra wet. Blah, 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 blah.
Ew.
Anyway. For now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are doing this thing. It's called a podcast.
Are we? Is that what we're doing?
If you don't know what a podcast is, recommend you Google it. First
is
definition.
That it? Is that what we do?
I think so.
Is that what we're doing?
I think so. I don't know
that. Is that how this works?
I think it's cool. This is insane. What we're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, where can people find Drew Zakagawa online? At Drew Zakagawa on Twitter.
On Facebook at antihero/antihero419. Mm-hmm. Same thing on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Snapchat?
Yeah,
not Snapchat?
Nope.
Not on Elo?
No.
Not on Tinder?
Nope.
Not on Bumble?
Uh-uh.
Hinge?
Nope.
Coffee Meat Bagel?
No.
Grindr?
No.
Adam Meet Eve?
Uh-uh.
Adam Meet Steve?
No.
Bev Meet Jeb?
Nope.
Christian Mingle?
No.
Black Singles Meet.
Nope.
MaitlandSingles.com.
Uh-oh.
CasperSingles.com.
Nope. Not any of those things. And if it wasn't for the podcast, I wouldn't be on Facebook or Instagram either. So.
Yeah. But then, Drew, how would you know that as of 49 minutes ago, the current threat level is orange?
Which means...
Failure is an easy answer. Ooh, that's getting a retweet.
It is.
That's perfect for Drew right there.
Failure is an easy answer.
Ooh.
It's the only answer sometimes.
Oh, not sure. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the only answer. Failure. Embrace your failures.
Embrace your inner failure.
Embrace your inner failure. Become your outer failure.
Embrace
your inner failure. That, I mean...
Yeah.
If your barometer is broke, what is he going to do?
If you have no barometer...
You gotta mention it three times for it to become a podcast title, so now you're the official title of the episode.
If your barometer's broke.
The broken barometer of Drew Zakagawa.
Broken barometer.
Act 3. His 30s.
The many broken barometers of Mr. Cogburn.
See, the Act 1 was adolescence. First was prologue.
Lots of prologue,
which is just like in the beginning and numbers, and it's like the first few books of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Then there's True Act 1, adolescence.
Yes.
Broken barometers of Juicy Kyron, Act 1, adolescence. Act 2, his 20s.
Yep.
We're now in the midst of Act 3, his 30s.
Yeah. No. Lots of broken barometers.
I mean, it's been broken the entire time.
Many missteps. Miscalculations.
When your barometer's broken, it's nothing but missteps. It's all missteps.
I mean, most of my missteps are actually public record, so...
If you want to be the daring do-well to be a jerk and find this man's skeletons in his closet, you'll find that they're sitting there with drinks in their hands waving at you because they're really not trying to hide.
Yeah, well, no. You just got to look in the right place. They're right there.
It's not necessarily a working industry in which, like, reputation is a big...
Unfortunately, it's a matter of public record.
It did write about you in the UCF paper. I mean, it's pretty impressive. The Golden Knight?
It did, yep.
Was that what it was called?
Yeah, I think so, maybe. I mean, I wonder if it's still on there.
But you have to Google your real name, though, which we're about to find. Mm-hmm. And it's not Drusa Cockburn.
No, it's not. Let's see if it's on there. UCF. No. Oh, look at that. Got some old rowing scores from March 28th, 1998. That's on there.
From your days as a coxswain.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's funny. In the meantime, Audrey's looking up his old, what were we looking for? Writing what the... this newspaper clipping.
I was in the police beat section, Chris.
The police beat section? Yeah. So you should just search the words police beat. Yeah, it'd be funny if you read the article. Jersey Cogburn reads articles, and then you read the police beat section from a very specific edition of the UCF Golden, whatever it's called, the Tattletaler.
It's not. I don't think
they don't keep records after more than 7 years. You know? This is forever ago. I mean, this is a long time ago.
I still have the original clipping.
That's a long time. You still have it. Yeah. Well, then you should scan it, and we'll put it in the Facebook group. Come on, man. We're trying to get numbers in the group. We're trying to get more interest. We need more scandalous shit like that. So we need you. I have the scanner right there. Bring your article here. We'll scan it in.
Reversing the wrong direction at an unsafe speed, Chris.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
The best part of it was what it says that I admitted to being on bail for charges pending in Seminole County.
Mm-hmm. That's when you know your barometer's broken. That was the end of Act 1.
That is the end
of Act 1.
That was the first time I had been charged with two separate things in two different counties at the same time. Which means because I later found out that if you did it the same county, then you couldn't get bail.
They couldn't get bail. No. But since they're in separate counties...
I could still get bail.
Yeah. Get me out of this jail.
Fun times, man.
Yeah, you should pull that clip and we'll scan it and put it to the group. Come on, man. I'm trying to get more people into the show.
Being young and stupid.
We got to be more
vulnerable. See if I can't find it.
More vulnerable with our failures.
I know. I found
that's
it.
What people
I
like.
Found it. I found it earlier. I can find it again, I'm sure. Mm. What about sure. past successes? I have plenty of successes, too.
I don't give a shit about success. Well, I guess you could post your crew scores.
But see, I'm a state and regional champion, man.
And yelling at people on a boat.
Hey! They give gold medals out for that shit.
I don't know why.
And college scholarships, too.
It's absurd.
I mean, I never got a college scholarship, but I definitely got the gold medals.
Yeah, give that. Let it cool down for a second, then give it a couple.
I got all sorts of fucking gold medals.
Oh, man. I guess you won't find any of my criminal misdeeds on interwebs.
Because you don't have any.
Well, I mean, I just didn't get caught. You know, just written records and stuff. Fortunately. Knock on particle board or whatever the hell this IKEA shit is.
Yeah, I think it is particle board.
So, in the meanwhile, people, you can go to our website. ChrisCresco.com is really my website. PFT Media has a whole bunch of stuff there, the major scales there. Hey, you know what? Shout outs to Owen at the Ono Radio Show. Him and Steve Etchie go back a bit. Steve Etchie called into their show a minute recently ago. And Owen asking them about the Major Scale, our new jazz show on the PFT Media Network. And he sounded like he was very into it. And I really appreciate helping plug that show. Thank you, sir. Very nice of you. He doesn't listen to this. Can someone please just let Owen know that I appreciate it? Thank you very much. Okay. So he's not listening. No one listens. Drew's not even listening. Drew.
Nope. Not listening at all.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Two.
None. They're attached to my hand.
Hi-yo. Sorry, I'm just...
I know.
No public records.
Oh, are you still... Yeah. Okay, that's
Hang
fine.
Hang on, 2000.
That is more entertaining than this show, I have to admit. Well, I'm not gonna lie.
Really? That's all that showed up in Sarasota County?
You can't find your good stuff?
Well, no, that just means my juvenile stuff was actually,
properly expunged?
Yeah, it was supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
No.
Can we get a good mugshot?
Aw, it doesn't have a mugshot.
Can't get any good mugshots of you?
No. Most of my mugshots, I mean, for a while, you used to be able to find them.
Yeah.
I used to be able to find like two or three of them. They're all gone.
They're all gone now? You never saved them?
No.
Could have made them.
I'm not sure I did at one point in time on something, but that was so many computers and hard drives ago.
We could have made it the show art for this episode.
Yeah, I know.
Shame.
All from 2001. Man, that was a fun 2001. That was a good year, Chris. I was 18.
That's what I'm saying. That's the end of Act 1.
Yeah, that was. It was the end.
Yeah. Yeah. The end of Act 1 and a lot of other things as well.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if my Orange County stuff is good. Oh, my Orange County stuff is probably a lot longer.
The Major Scale is also available to any of our listeners in Gainesville. It's being syndicated on the WGOT, W got a volunteer station there in Gville. We have the prime spot of something like Saturday 4 or 5 a.m. for now. Great for all the acid heads and tweakers. And hey, that's how it was pitched to me, so I agree. Yeah, jazz is perfect.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Chats, we really appreciate you guys. Thanks for syndicating. All right, Drew, we're doing a brand new segment.
Okay.
This is a segment where we tell the truth about other podcasts and podcasters in the area, at least the truth as I see it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when we really started talking some shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. The most important show, I think, that we're going to start... Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
No, okay. Oh, no, shit. Yeah, do this instead.
Oh, shit.
Oh, there we go.
Drew Chicago found something.
13 results, Chris.
13 results for what?
My Orange County records.
Oh, cool. What we got?
Civil traffic infraction.
Nah, it's nothing.
A couple of those. Got a misdemeanor.
Missy misdemeanor.
I got a couple misdemeanors on there. Got my that one time I was charged with a felony, but the felony got dropped.
What was the felony?
The criminal possession of alprazolam.
Alprazolam? That's it?
I had one Xanax that wasn't mine. That's a felony. Just so you know, Chris.
That's insane.
That's a felony. Uh-huh. Yeah, it is.
But I got dropped, though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because you're like, hey, that's one pill, plus he's a white dude.
Yep, possession of alprazolam. Third degree felony.
Anything else going on?
Oh, that same day was possession of cannabis under 20 grams and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I was on my way home from work.
Yeah, come on, guys. It's America.
Yeah. I had a long night at work.
Trying to get high in America. Yeah.
And that was...
You stop a man from just doing his thing?
Yeah, that was the day... That was the day I went to jail for 11 days? 12 days? How long was I in jail for?
That was like 8 days.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm the one who had to clean out the litter box. You were in jail. I was the one who had to clean out the litter box. I was the one truly in jail.
Hi-yo!
Drew, we have a game this week submitted by our homie Gabe.
Uh-huh.
This game is called Know Your Rights. Marvel, DC, or Dark Horse. So, Drew, you're the head of a studio, and you want to remake a movie based on a comic book series and or a graphic novel anthology. Well, you better know your rights. Mm-hmm. So, Marvel,
DC, or Dark Horse.
Those are your options. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You made me a nice little spreadsheet here. And then, of course, my phone is...
Thanks, Gabe.
Thanks, Gabe. Here we go. V for Vendetta came out in 2005, starring Natalie Portman, Hugo
DC.
Weaving. That is DC, correct. Come out in 2010, Kick-Ass, starring Aaron Johnson, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Mark Strong, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Dark Horse?
Marvel.
Yeah, some of that, yeah.
I know you know this one, Watchmen.
That's DC.
That is
no,
DC.
Yeah,
you're right. 300.
DC.
Dark Horse.
Mm.
Red.
DC.
That is DC. The Mask, the Jim Carrey Cameron Diaz.
Dark Horse?
That is Dark Horse. Howard the Duck.
Marvel,
we all knew that. And Swamp Thing.
DC.
Is DC. They're actually doing the DC, that streaming service.
Yeah.
They're doing a Swamp Thing show. They're doing Swamp Thing and then Titans.
something, depending on which version of something, could be almost like a fucking horror movie.
It could be. It's supposed to be. It should be. I wouldn't be surprised if they go with the Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
I'm cool with that.
But you gotta get that DC streaming service thing.
Yeah.
Are you cool with that?
I mean, if I get access to all the animated stuff that I still haven't seen, then yeah, I am.
I think a lot of that's on Hulu.
A lot of it's on, like, Amazon and Netflix, but you gotta
pay
for it.
It's all spread out.
Yeah.
Sin City.
Ah. Dark Horse?
Correct. The Spirit.
DC.
Correct. Blade.
Dark Horse.
Marvel. Jonas.
DC.
Correct. Barbed Wire.
Ooh. Dark Horse?
Correct. The Rocketeer.
I have no idea.
Just like a guess. You got 30% Marvel. Chance. Or Dark Horse. Now, if you take that and you reverse it, play it backwards, you hear that I said, Drew, you still did pretty good, although I wasn't necessarily keeping track of your score. Yeah. I felt like you definitely got way more right than you did wrong.
I definitely did. I think I only got 3 or 4 wrong.
No, you did solid. You did solid. Thanks, Gabe. We appreciate the game, buddy. Sorry we didn't have a guest here to actually make something of it. All right, here we go, Drew. Time for some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic
opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
No,
and
it's
about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently, Han wasn't so solo at all.
He's been melting down. He's been berating fans.
What's going on with the beach?
What's going on with the beach?
I brought this up on the bonus episode this week, but get ready this fall, Drew, for Pratt Schwarzenegger. That is in Chris Pratt and Catherine Schwarzenegger. They are a hot item, going on church dates together and family outings. It's a lot of fun. But of course, what's going on with the Biebs, Drew Chicago, and I got that Biebs update. You ready for this, Justin Bieber? Married as fuck, oh shit!
Chris, and as of 4 hours ago, was seen wearing this.
Oh, wow. That's like a magic eye painting meets a Rorschach test meets the best parts of the Predator.
It's a tie-dye sweatsuit, Chris.
The thing is wild.
Yeah. That's what he was wearing 4 hours ago.
Maybe that's his honeymoon gift from Haley Baldwin.
Maybe. He's married now?
Mm-hmm. And Haley Baldwin got married. So he has married into Hollywood royalty. Alec Baldwin is now his uncle-in-law.
Mm. And he's applying for U.S. citizenship.
Why wouldn't he? Probably get dual citizenship if he can.
If he's smart, he would.
Keep that Canadian for that healthcare. Although he's a billionaire. Good for you, Justin Bieber. Oh my god. I almost died.
They're not married. So they're not married yet, Chris.
They just got married. No, wedding.
They got the marriage license.
Yeah, it's good enough.
But they're not apparently officially married.
Yeah, a marriage license, that's good enough. It's a fucking, it's good enough. They've been together for like 2 months. That's a new thing now, Drew. Meet young, get together quick. Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, they got together like super fast. Like already engaged to be married. Same thing with these two. You just gotta put a ring on it right away.
Put a ring on it right away so you can divorce it even quicker, hopefully, before you put a baby in it.
Before you get a baby in it, because then if you got a baby in it and then the baby comes out of it and then you break up and then you gotta worry about all this Ben habitation and Ben have for all the Ben alcoholism, then you're Jennifer Garner. It's like, man, I gotta take this guy. Jennifer Garner's the one driving this dude's ass to rehab. Meanwhile, Shauna Sexton, the 22-year-old Playboy model, is the one visiting him in rehab for the little bit of the old hidey-ho, how you doing, nice to meet you, let's become better friends, if you know what I mean.
The old
wink,
out.
Wink, the old in and out, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, the hey, I'm a Playboy model and you're the former Batman, and let's wah, 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 eep, eep, eep.
Please tell me when you get a girl naked, that's what you do.
That's what I do. I go, I give him to Paul McCartney. How do you do? I'm flippity floppity. Now I'm in Winter Park. I'm at Rollins College. Or if I want to be calmer, then I'm John Lennon. I'm just the biggest creep in the world.
You are. You. That is correct.
Where's my Benomizer?
But at least you're not Ringo, Chris. At least you're not Ringo.
If I was Ringo, then I'd be like, I had nothing against Ringo. I don't know why I did that. Sorry, Ringo. I have no idea why I was insulting to you. It just felt like the right thing to do in the moment, comedically speaking, to tear you down because you're bigger than me and I can just, you know, I can punch at you without repercussion. It's like punching a mountain.
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens. I might hurt my fist at the most. It's almost done.
Yeah, beer's pretty delicious. I'm thinking about going home and playing some Tomb Raider.
Here we go. Movies. Besides the whole the Pratt Schwarzenegger, that's all. I just want to keep you up to date on Pratt Schwarzenegger. It's very important.
Knives to the throat.
They're going to church. You get it?
Put an arrow in it.
Do you get it, Drew?
Eye.
That's one of the reasons why he broke up with Anna Faris to begin with.
I'm going
to
kill people with pickaxes.
He's a Christian, hardcore Christian, always has been.
Really?
And she, not.
At all.
And that they tried to make that work and they couldn't. Mm-hmm. Catherine Schwarzenegger.
I mean, cool.
So, also reported on the bonus episode this week, Henry Cavill out as Superman. Out!
Yep, heard about that.
But is he?
What does that mean? What does that even mean, Chris?
You're packing up, Drew. You got at least 10 minutes left.
I'm sure we do, but I'm not going to be using my computer for that 10 minutes.
You could find a reason to use it. Look up more criminal records.
So I can stare off into the distance and not interact with you at all during the last 10
minutes. It's not that you're staring off
into
the distance. It's more like you're staring into the short distance and right in front of you. I can see what you're looking at. So, Henry Cavill. This was weird. So reported, rumored.
Yeah, that he was out. I heard that.
That man has stalled. The contract negotiations have ended. He is done. And then Henry Cavill put out an Instagram post of him just like staring at his phone, like really close up. He's wearing a t-shirt, but really close up, staring at his phone. And it's man, what's the song? It's Blue Danube. Which one's Blue Danube?
It's used
in 2001. We just heard it in 2001. Okay. It's one of the classical songs. You also hear it a ton of times in old Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Classic song, Blue Danube. But it's by Dogs. Dogs are barking it. And he's just staring at the camera. Dog version of Blue Danube playing. And then he has a Superman doll. Him as Superman, it like still in the box, like a tall action figure. And he like raises it into frame in front of his face while still staring forward, and then he just raises it, and then he lowers it, and then that's it. That was the whole thing. The day all this shit comes.
What does that have to do with anything?
What are you trying to say, Hank? What are you trying to say, Hank? Warner Brothers finally put out a statement, and they said, "Hold your horses." Official quote, hold your horses, don't be a bunch of bitches, Cavill ain't going nowhere, end quote. It's a weird quote.
Yes.
It's a weird quote, but that's what they put out there, essentially. Here's another thing, TMZ is reporting that Henry Cavill was approached to do a cameo in Shazam, which was essentially just going to be him as Clark Kent show up at the end and looking at Billy Batson as a kid and be like, we're keeping an eye on you, kid, or some shit like that. But he turned it down because of not enough money from to even bother show for one day of filming. But Warner Brothers is saying no. While Man of Steel 2 is indeed stalled out, and while they are indeed pushing forward with a Supergirl movie, they're not throwing out Henry Cavill. They still want him. They still want him as Superman. Are you fine with that? What do you think?
It doesn't matter.
You don't matter. You don't care one way or the other.
No.
You're not a big Superman fan at all, right?
Not really. Yeah.
Even the originals, the OGs. Yeah.
I mean, he's
a combo character.
He's like the unbeatable Boy Scout.
Yeah.
It's like Captain America on steroids, and it's never really intriguing.
Which is why I think it's fun. That's the thing I think is fun when a writer then has to figure out a way to come up with a plausible way that Superman might actually be beaten in something.
Yeah.
You know? You gotta write your way around.
I mean, I get it.
That ridiculous set of powers ideas. Yeah,
he doesn't really, never really did it for me. I mean, I like the way, you know, some of the, like, the alternate Superman stuff and the way that he's been used in some other books, especially as
Dark Knight Returns,
as an adversary for Batman.
Hell yeah.
So
as a foil for Ronald Reagan. It's funny, Frank Miller wrote that as a pretty staunch right winger. Nick Cage. Someone asked him, he's doing some rounds, press on Mandy. Someone asked him about the Ghost Rider. And he pointed out something very obvious, something that I've been saying, we've been saying on the show for a while. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, the link is broken, but he essentially said, if they made this after Deadpool came out, R-rated, huge money, then they made Logan, huge money, R-rated. He was like, maybe that would have then given Fox the chutzpah to make Ghost Rider R-rated, and it would have benefited hugely from being an R-rated movie. Yeah. It would have been a better movie. It would have been much more successful. Correct. And it's just like, you're right, Nick Cage, 100%. The Ghost Rider needs to be a cheap, R-rated, like, gritty, fucked up exploitation.
Yes.
Supernatural exploitation, like, biker movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all. Man, it's a weird fucking character, and they tried the first time around trying to make him some sort of like a Spider-Man type.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the second time it was a little bit closer to what it should have been, but
still be yours.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I keep seeing things coming up now, articles saying the best Punisher movie is the one nobody ever saw, and I'm like, oh, you mean the one with
Punisher: Cold War Zone?
Yeah, the one where Homeboy gets shredded in a glass shredder in the first scene.
I mean,
yeah.
That's how the movie starts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a parkour guy gets, like, exploded.
Yep.
Man.
It's a great movie.
Turns that grandma into a smoking meat crater. Mm-hmm. Lexi Alexander was, like, some people came at her for how violent some of that shit was, and some of those shots were.
Amazing.
And she was like, I pulled these directly from the comic books. From panels.
Yeah.
Like, I just recreated panels. Mm-hmm. So this isn't even my imagination. All I did was like faithfully recreate what the Punisher is.
Yeah.
And people are like, this is fucked up. It's like, have you read the Punisher?
Have you ever read? Yeah, no, exactly.
Man, I can't wait for her next movie.
I'll put that as a Crespo Hundo for people who have not seen
Punisher Warzone, for sure.
Go watch Punisher Warzone.
And I say, I want to do this too. I want to rewatch. It's been forever since I've seen the original Punisher.
Oh, with Dolph Lundgren?
Another one that feels a little dirty. Now, yeah.
Way dirty, dude.
That was a grimy movie.
He fucking sears bullet wounds with a hot knife in a sewer.
In a sewer. It's a grimy, dirty movie. A lot of sweat. A lot of 80s sweat and cocaine.
Yeah.
You still got to get past the fact that they try to make this blonde hair sweet brunette.
I know.
Not even a brunette. Like a dark hair. Black hair brunette, you know? Charcoal in the face.
It was bad.
That's a bad look. But otherwise, this is a fine Punisher movie, I think.
Definitely better than Thomas Jane one.
Definitely better than Thomas Jane one. Shout out to Thomas Jane. I'm enjoying him in The Expanse. He was okay in The Predator. He's becoming an actor who's like deciding to make choices.
Yeah.
Like, he's all Tourette's-y in The Predator. In The Expanse, he has like a crazy haircut. And he's like playing the whole thing half drunk, even though he's not obviously drinking. He's sort of an interesting actor. I don't know if really necessarily that good.
But interesting.
Interesting. I was trying to remember what I was going to say. I had a thought that I wanted to throw out there, but then I lost it. I'm not gonna chase it down. I'm just gonna let it go away. And that's the true great thought, Drew. If you love that thought. Let it leave you.
If it comes back, then it's yours.
If it comes back to you.
If not, then it never was.
Then it was meant to be. If it doesn't come back to you, then it was a piece of shit thought, and you shouldn't have thought of it in the first place. And you should say goodbye, bad thoughts.
Goodbye.
That's what happens to when you think of fucking kids, that's what happens to your thoughts, right?
I don't think about fucking kids.
They, you don't?
Never. Not once.
And they don't run away from you, those thoughts?
I mean, if I had them, I'm sure they would run away, but I don't have the thoughts to begin
with. As opposed to you running towards them?
I don't do either of those things.
Okay. Just making sure.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to trick you.
I know.
But you did pretty good.
Yep.
You did pretty good, Drew.
Because everybody knows you love the cheese pizza.
Oh, you know. Comet pizza. You want to take a road trip to Washington, D.C.? Suburb of Washington, D.C.?
Parquet.
Get some Comet pizza.
No.
Get that cheese pizza.
I don't want that cheese
pizza. Let's go to Comet pizza and order some CPs.
I don't want some cheese pizza.
Yeah. And then we could like point at the bullet hole in the ceiling. I hope they preserved it. I would have preserved it. I would have turned it into like a Trump like Walk of Fame type star. But it says Alex Jones on it. I was gonna say something else. No, I forgot. Oh. No, never mind. Forget that thought.
Okay. Sure.
For real, though.
What?
Cheese pizza.
What about it?
Come with pizza.
You want some?
We should go.
You want cheese pizza?
I do, but then my guts. My guts, you know what I mean? The cheeses, the lactose, it hurts so much. I've been doing a lot more oatmeal lately. I've had oatmeal like 4 out of the last 8 meals.
What? Yeah. So you're having a love affair with oats now?
No, it's tough. It's tough, but it works.
I mean,
because I went to the doctor. I use the Mickey machines at Publix, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm always like eyeing this machine. Like, is this thing really? I don't know if this thing's really good. Then I went to an actual doctor, and the thing that they use on my arm, I thought it was going to rip my arm off. It was so, oh my God, it hurts so much. But then they came out with a number, and I was like, the same as the Hickey number.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much the same number.
Oh, wow.
And it was like 130 over 85.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's pretty good. You want like 120 over 80. I think it's like your average, really good average. 130, the top number is slightly high. 85, bottom number is slightly high. But otherwise, it's better than what it was like 4 years ago when I was like 140 over 90 or something, which was like, you're getting ready to stroke out at the age of like 33, kid.
Cool.
Buddy. Dummy.
Good job.
Idiot. Sodium lover.
Yes.
Sedentary sodium lover.
Salt.
My barometer for health was
way broken.
My svelte levels were very low. It's a Zach Galifianakis joke. So yeah, a lot of oatmeal. A lot of oatmeal. You know what I'm trying to do? 2 out of 3 meals a day, I'm trying to make them healthy. Mm. So do oatmeal for breakfast, a salad for lunch. Then for dinner, I'll be like, oh, whatever. At least my other 2 meals were good. If I want to cheat and go downtown to Chela and get 3 tacos that are just 3 different types of pork, you know for dinner I'm getting like a salad. Or oatmeal. I did another oatmeal. I had oatmeal for breakfast and dinner that day. Ow. And oatmeal for breakfast the next day. Ow. Because those tacos were so good, Drew. They were so good. Yo, I don't even know what kind of pork it was. It just said crispy pig on the menu. Mm. And then for the ingredients list, it just gives you everything else. Mm-hmm. So they came out like cubes, straight up cubes. Mm-hmm. And it bite into it. It tasted like pork belly. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like, whoosh,
maybe it was just
flavor explosion.
Little deep fried pieces of pork belly.
It could have been. But not that little. They were pretty significant sized cubes. Man, they were so good. And then the middle one was the carnitas, so shredded pork, but then with like chicharrones on top. Man, I ate them in the wrong order. Yeah. I went crispy pig first, flavor explosion, and then the one in the middle, the chicharrones, man, that was just so good. And then the one at the end, I had it before, the petito chorizo, which is great with the crema fresca on top. But going in that order, I went in order from like most flavorful to least flavorful. Yeah. I should have gone the other way. I gotta go back for my 3 pork tacos.
So you gotta make sure you get a lot of oatmeal.
I ran out of oats today. Yes, I finished my last cup of oats.
Ah, poor Chris.
I had a cup of oats for breakfast, a whole cup, like a serious cup of oats, and you saw me, my chicken salad for lunch. But not chicken salad with mayo, because that's delicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, like spinach with quinoa, and like chopped up chicken, and corn. Corn's actually sugary, not good for you. Black beans. So for dinner, I don't know, I'm thinking about like a big ass fucking cheeseburger.
I mean, I had a protein shake for breakfast. I had Arby's for lunch.
Arby's, see, there you go. Now for dinner, then you'd have to, if you were doing my thing,
but
then you'd
I don't have
to do like a couple oats or something.
I don't have to do your thing.
A nice salad, a nice warm salad.
I mean, warm salad.
Cold chicken.
It's the whole cold chicken thing. I don't mind eating salads, you know. I mean, I eat salads from time to time.
Hell yeah. I love a good salad.
I'm down for salads.
Love a good salad.
I do have to think about something to eat for dinner, though.
Yeah.
I think all I have is mac and cheese at the house.
Oof. I have boxes of rice pilaf with orzo in it. Actually, my mom dropped off this tray of beef. Just, I guess it's like roast beef on shredded beef. I had half of it yesterday. And yeah, my
God. There you go. There you go. You got dinner, Chris.
So I do have dinner.
You're going to eat beef.
I wish I had like tortillas or something. Make some tacos out of them.
You should go to the store and get some.
Now I don't have a dog. I'm free again. I can actually leave the house.
You can.
I'm not going to leave the house.
Nope. Me neither. I'm going to go home and play Tomb Raider.
Yeah, man. Enjoy that game. Well, that's cool.
Until I go to sleep.
Well, you said, though, it's gaming season. So you got that. What's between that and Red Dead Redemption 2?
technically Assassin's Creed Odyssey comes out in between them.
You get on there?
And I'm talking like here in like a couple weeks. It's wait.
You play all the Assassin's Creeders. Yeah,
I do, but it's way too soon. Like I've already
soon to Tomb Raider.
Well, no, because I've already I put down money on Tomb Raider when I heard that was coming out.
Yeah.
And then I forgot that Assassin's Creed is a yearly title, and a new one comes out every year.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Dead was coming out, so I put money down on Red Dead when mm-hmm. it was supposed to come out this summer. So I put out
right, and it kept getting pushed. It got pushed,
which I'm totally fine yeah. with.
Because they just want to make a better game.
Exactly.
That's fine. Make a better game.
So. I've got money down on that, so since I already had money on those two, I can't. I mean, I could get Assassin's Creed
yeah.
when it comes out,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I wouldn't play it for a while. I mean, I'm getting ready first, and hope that'll last me hopefully until Red Dead comes out, and then once Red Dead comes out, it'll be Red Dead for
the rest of the year.
I mean, depending on how big and fucking expansive this goddamn game
it's
is.
It's going to be a gigantic game. I remember the first one took me forever to get through the whole time. And that's when I had time to play video games.
This one's map is 3 times as large.
I don't have time, actually. I want to play it, but I don't think. I wish I did. I really wish I did. I miss my 20s.
I make time for it, Chris.
Yeah, it's like I make time for the few things that I make time for, you know, like which is like of... this year it's a Crespo Hundo. I'm making time for the Crespo Hundo. I'm at about 80. No. I think Predator was 79. Also trying to watch a couple shows.
Yeah. You see that all I've done, I've basically just given up on television and comic books right now.
Interesting.
Concentrating on video games.
You gotta throw something aside.
No.
You can't do it all.
I do not have enough time to do it all.
I'm also trying to read, too. Like I said, I read Dune a couple months ago, and I'm reading The Right Stuff now. And then between those, I actually read both of Dr. Anne Lepley's books. They're short books, but I read both of her books. I read your book, lady! She's not listening.
No.
And, yeah, you have to make time. We're at an age where it's like, what do you really want to do with the little bit of free time that you have?
Yeah,
you got to figure that out.
Because sleep has become a very important part of my life.
Yeah, okay.
During my 20s, I didn't really care. Motto was, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
You could do the 5-6 hours, yeah. 4 hours, and get by. No, I need my 7 to 8.
I know, exactly. If I don't get 6, I'm not worth a shit.
It's weird. If I get less than 6, I feel like so bad. If I get 6 to 7, I'm like, 7 to 8, okay, then I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. If I only get like 6, then I'll have to take a nap when I get home from work.
Yeah. I don't like naps.
So. And normally a 2-hour nap.
I like naps, but I don't like naps because I feel like then I'm wasting the day.
I don't feel like I'm wasting the day. I do feel like I'm wasting the day because normally when I wake up from the nap, although I feel less tired than I did when I fell asleep, I'm still not fully awake for the rest of the day.
It's because you fell into REM sleep, and you're not supposed to do that. If you're going to take a nap during the day, you want to set a timer for like 20 minutes, and you want to wake up before you go into REM sleep. Nice. That's how you're supposed to get a boost, apparently. I've never actually done this. You get a boost from a sleep, but then you avoid then your body being pumped full of melatonin.
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, then the rest of the day, like, because your body's like, I should be asleep right now. Apparently, you should have been sleeping in 4-hour chunks anyway, getting up in the middle of the night and doing stuff.
I mean,
there's documentation out there that's the way people used to sleep. There's first sleep and second sleep. You go to bed for 3 or 4 hours, wake up in the middle of the night, get up,
do whatever,
eat a little something, do whatever, go back to sleep for another 3 or 4 hours after a little bit.
I mean, normally that's kind of what I do anyway. Like, I'll go to bed at, like, 9.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I'll wake up around, like, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go downstairs, mm-hmm. you know, maybe drink a glass of water, take a piss, smoke a cigarette, get high real quick, and then crawl back into my bed.
That's sort of essentially the same thing. First sleep, second sleep. Add a little more to that in the middle. Like, write a journal entry.
Masturbate.
How's your journal doing?
Don't have one.
So
never had a journal.
So bad is what you're saying.
Never had a journal in my life.
Live actually. Journal?
Never.
You never had a live journal?
Don't think so.
Never had a MySpace?
Had MySpace.
Those are online.
Journals. Don't remember.
Never had a diary?
Nope. Didn't have a diary growing up.
You didn't write yourself?
Nope.
Dear Drew, no. We did it again.
Nope. Because it would have been a lot of that.
I'm going to read Drew's diary entries.
I don't have them.
Someone here in town ripped off a very popular thing in California called, what's it called? It's essentially a read your diary entries from when you were a kid.
Oh, okay.
They've been doing it out there in LA for like decades, and someone here started doing it here a while ago, and it was kind of a popular thing.
I'm sure it can be oddly insightful, quite hilarious, and maybe, you know, soul-crushingly awful all at the same time.
All at the same time, yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's got a good meaning, or what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah,
no. all right, well, I get it. I mean, we have no Vox Populi.
Nope.
We have no guest.
Billy D got fingered.
Billy D. Oh, did we do the Billy D?
He got fingered.
No, I didn't send you a Billy D.
He sent me nothing. I assume he got fingered by the men. He got man fingered.
You know, I thought I forwarded this to you.
Nope. That's why I asked earlier, like when we started the second half of the show. Before you turned it on.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's death in the movie is dead.
What's up, my dude? Been hard at work crafting
the elements for the next Billy D video series.
That's right. There's a new video series you're coming out called Billy D's Up a Stream. He's going to do it twice a month, available on PFTV, which is just our YouTube channel, where he's going to, it's like the pick of the week. He's going to find something that he recommends that people can stream online, and then they can listen. Doesn't that sound exciting?
It does.
All right, here we go. Keep reading.
But I'm seeing Mandy tonight.
Mandy, you lucky son of a bitch!
At Alamo, and I caught Slice on demand this week.
Slice.
I'm really disappointed by Slice.
Aw.
What a bad movie.
No.
Like, real bad, guys. I think it might be the first A24 sticker.
What
a shame. It had a lot of pieces that should fit together and made something fun. This should have been like a Big Trouble in Little China type of movie. It looked great, but all over the place everywhere else. The story and performances were all very weak, characters disappointing, and for the whole movie, and the wolf effects, woof, of void. Stay cool, lady.
What is up, my dude?
So wow, the first A24 stinker, guys.
The first A24 stinker, how exciting.
It is. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Take this weird effect off my face and make it an even weirder one.
Awesome.
Sorry about that, you know, I just wanted to talk. Oh my god, no, it's my
voice for you. Voice infection. Ability is all over the internet to I Love Blood. Slice, apparently the first real A24 stinker.
I mean, I was kind of hoping that it would happen eventually. I mean,
it's gonna happen. That's what happened eventually.
Yeah.
You know, they also lost one of their their committee.
Oh, really?
4, 5, 6 months ago. We reported on it really quickly. But because they have a weird thing, their office structure.
They
have like a head.
No, they do committee stuff.
But someone left. Someone left to go do their own thing. How influential was that one person?
We'll find out.
With that one person that looked at Slice
and been like, nah, brah.
Like, nah, brah. This is terrible. It would have been like,
no, man, why is this so terrible, bro? What are you doing?
I don't know why he's a high-pitched little weirdo, but he is, man.
What is he like? That's why no one tall.
He's like, man, I'm a tiny guy. I live in the walls.
What?
I live in the walls, and I walk around at night when people are sleeping, reaching into their ears, pulling out the wax to feed my children.
That's gross.
Yeah, I know. But when you're a wall person like me, you have to do what you have to do to get by. And then I got a job at 824.
Can you go back in the wall, please?
You want me to go back?
Can you just go back in the wall?
I'm just telling you about
it. No, go back in the wall.
I'm just telling
you. Back in the wall.
824.
Back in the wall.
He's just the guy who worked at 824. We had an exclusive interview with the guy who worked at 824, and he told him to go back in the walls.
Yes. And stay there. And die there with the rats. Thank you.
Because it doesn't work for 824 anymore?
No, because he has got a really annoying voice. Is that the most annoying? Want to hear about the most annoying sound in the world, Chris?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
You couldn't do it. If you couldn't tell, ladies and gentlemen, the episode ended minutes ago, it did.
Awesome. So I gotta leave now.
I guess so. I mean, I'm not really gonna stop recording a couple minutes, but if you wanna leave, I guess you can't leave me by myself. Kind of cruel. I give you a dab and all that.
That would be funny, though. Leaving Chris in the studio by himself, Mike's hot, and him just surrounded by an empty glass of old booze and an empty beer can.
I did just finish that, and oh, you know what? You're right, the episode's over. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Thank you, Drew.
You're welcome, Chris.
Thank you. I already said thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. Break up the big banks, be excellent to each other. Read more books. Read Tom Wolfe still writes, though, as a matter of fact. And stuff your mattresses full of dollar bills. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. If you don't know who that is, Google it.
Welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso.
Alright, welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso.
Cinema Crespo Diso?
I said Cinema Crespo Diso.
Cinema Crespo Diso.
I'm your host, Jizz Crespo. Hanging out with Drewster Cockburn.
It's hot and sticky. That's your weather report.
So take off all your clothes.
Ew, I don't know about that.
I just noticed this. Can you fix that Star Wars thing, Brownie? That's seriously right. You're driving me wild. You're driving me wild. I'm crazy, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
You saw that, right?
I did see that. That was crazy. And then he let go. It's straight. Perfect. Awesome. We're hanging on in the Cinema Crespo studio doing our thing. Let's see. What is our threat? Update current threat level is magenta. Current threat level is magenta. I actually made that up.
A PFT Media production.